Hello and welcome to Real Geeks. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
And as we've all heard, the power dynamic in the DCEU is about to change. We're still waiting for the movie where it changes.
It's gone from suck to blow. Care of Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Black Adam. Yes, it's only taken the better part of a decade and a half, but here it is. Look at it in all its glory. And can't you just tell it's taken 15 years?
My son sacrificed his life to save me. These powers are not a gift, but a curse. Born out of rage.
This loose cannon needs to be locked down before innocent people start getting hurt.
He's been asleep for 5,000 years.
You find us a cell that can hold him, we'll take care of the rest.
Who's on the team?
I didn't bring a passport.
We don't need passports. We're the Justice Society. There's a war going on
outside. We ain't safe from Black Adam. We're here to negotiate your peaceful surrender. Heard about at least three killings this afternoon.
I'm not peaceful. Nor do I surrender. Here we go. I kneel before no one.
You didn't come here to seek justice. You came to exact revenge.
I never said I was a hero.
Giving you respect, I expect the same thing.
You believe you are not worthy. But fate does not make mistakes.
I'll fight for you.
You had two paths. You can be the destroyer of this world. Or you can be its savior.
No, what this feels like, and I have to give a shout out to Chris Cox from oneofus.net, because this is his joke, but I do feel like it's kind of perfect. This feels like The Rock walked into Warner Brothers Studios and said, I want to make this movie. You're going to make this movie for me. This is what I want to do. This is my script. This is the story I want to tell. This is how everything is going to happen. You're going to give this to me.
Yeah, and this is unfortunately very close to how The Rock operates, especially now. He has a team who handle his character. So he never wants to stray too far away from how he portrays himself in public, in media like wrestling. And all of this is unfortunately probably building towards a political career, because of course it is. But he's been carefully managing his career image and his personality image and every potential way you could view him for years now. And the more power and money he's gotten, the more he's been able to do with that. And this is absolutely an example of that, because he was first offered the role of Captain Marvel, and like back when they still called Shazam Captain Marvel. Over 15 years ago, when they were first looking at doing a Captain Marvel film and obviously having Black Adam be the villain in it, alongside, of course, Savannah. It took me a moment to remember the knockoff Lex Luthor. You know, the bald, crazy scientist. No, the poor one. Yeah, the poor one. Thank you. And
yeah, apparently you can't do one of these first movies with a villain that someone remembers.
I mean, like, I loved the portrayal of Savannah in Shazam. That was really well done and kind of like refreshing for the character who otherwise is like, yeah, I'll get you, Captain Marvel and the Marvel family. That's very much Savannah. But originally, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I hate how everyone says that every time, the whole thing. It's like a pimp named Slickback. You have to say the whole thing. So I will be making fun of at least that concept.
I will say one thing in his defense. He did try to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the public would let him do it.
No, it's true, because, you know, the second you say Dwayne Johnson, people go, what? Who? It's like, you know, the Rock. Oh, yeah. No, I knew he was Dwayne Johnson, but for some reason, it didn't read it. Yeah, and I understand.
I think he's basically given up.
See, I knew that back during the Scorpion King. All these motherfuckers. anyway, he was originally offered the role of Captain Marvel, not Black Adam. And he read the script, and this is still when he had, like, mediocre amounts of power to throw around, but still, like, enough. And he was like, I would actually prefer Black Adam, please. And they went, oh, okay. Okay, we could do that. We can beef up his part and make it a little more interesting. Yeah. And then that project kind of went on hiatus for 5 years. And then it got picked up again after the failure of Batman v Superman, or at least during the, like, I believe maybe the hype lead up. It was somewhere between, like, after Man of Steel, and somewhere in there is Batman v Superman. And at some point, someone at Warner went, this is a clusterfuck. We should probably set, like, a contingency moving. Perhaps we should have a contingency plan. And someone went, okay, I've got this really long, slow burning fuse. Do you think it'll be too long? No, I'm sure it'll be fine. Have that going, and by the time we need it, surely it will save the DCEU. Yes, surely. Anyway, everything collapsed, and this fuse is just burning and burning, and like Dwayne's people are working the story to his absolute demands, and he's becoming more and more powerful. Yeah. And like, as the DCEU fails time and time again, like, becomes more of a clusterfuck, his power within it keeps growing, like the shadow cabal in the background, where it's like he can do whatever he wants in his movie, and he can have whatever and whoever he wants in his movie. And DC Warner Brothers is just like, fine, Jesus Christ, yes, have whatever. Here, you know, please save us, God, save us. And eventually, Captain Marvel got written entirely out of it so they could have a Shazam movie come out in time to actually, like, enjoy using this character, because, sweet God damn it, they're still pre-producing Black Adam. Ah! And, you know, there was always promises that, okay, well, in the next Shazam, Black Adam will finally appear. And The Rock is like, no, I'm not just, like, showing up in someone else's movie. Like, to the point that there's an image of Black Adam in Shazam, and that is just Photoshop. The Rock did not show up to do fuck all for Shazam. It's a totally unrelated fucking shot. So, enjoy that.
Well, let's be honest. Who actually showed up to cameo in Shazam? And Mr. The Rock Bond didn't. Henry Cavill didn't.
and we'll get to something about that later. But, yeah. Keep in mind how much The Rock is like, no, fuck Billy Batson. I'm putting a court order on Billy Batson. He's not allowed within 500 meters of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Court order. Then they finally got stuff going, and then COVID happened.
Yep.
And finally, here we are. A movie that is over 15 years in the making, feels like it, but also, and here's my opinion entirely, feels like a pastiche of other bad action films sewn together so badly that you can see the seams more than you can see the patches.
Really? Because I had a similar train of thought, but I did go kind of a different way to get there. Hmm. In that, like, we've seen The Rock doing, look, as long as we're making fun of him, fuck it, the most electrifying press tour in all of film entertainment.
No, you gotta say it like this. The most electrifying press tour in the history of sports entertainment.
The most electrifying press tour in all of entertainment. But he's talked constantly about how, you know, you gotta listen to the fans. Rule one, listen to the fans. Give the fans what they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe don't listen to every single fan at the same goddamn time.
Or, like, you know, listen to the fans, especially when they tell you, you need to ease up, sweet Jesus, and let someone else have some creative control over this, with possibly someone with a vision that isn't just, how will this make me look awesome? Because, yeah, it's like, they've stapled everything, as you say, that has come their way to the wall, either in the last 15 years or the prior 15 years to that. This is about 30 to 40 years worth of filmmaking distilled for some reason. There's no real reason given. Like, there is a kid in this film who is straight out of the 90s, like the early 90s, possibly the late 80s even, because, like, he's got an entire skateboarding around scene. And all I could think of was the intro to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. I expected that, like, he looks like fucking, like, Middle Eastern John Connor.
I it had not occurred to me at the time, but I can see it now. For my part, when I say he's listening to too many of the fans, Were you a fan of the Fox X-Men movies? There's a little something here for you.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of the Marvel movies? There's a little something here for you. Were you a fan of the Suicide Squad? There's a little something here for you. Are you a Zack Snyder fan? There's a little something here for you. Are you a fan who's complained about Zack Snyder's filmmaking and overt insistent on killing everyone? There's something here for you.
Did you like those scenes in the newer X-Men movies where stuff goes super slow and one guy goes super fast? There's definitely a scene here for you. Built to order.
Are you a fan of Zack Snyder's love of slow-mo for no reason whatsoever? There's stuff here for you.
Yeah, like, here's the weirdest thing about this film. All right, it's a bad film. It's not a good film. Yep. But be damned if I didn't find myself enjoying a lot of it and laughing in spite of myself at moments where it wants me to laugh. Like, I'm not laughing at the film, I'm laughing with the film. There's a lot of laughing at this film, yes.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. There's a line in it early on when they find his tomb, and one guy's like, if he was so good, why did they bury him down here? And it's like, yeah, like, Bronze Age civilizations never buried their leaders. That never happened to anyone that they thought was a god. No, it's not at all like there's, you know, immense memorials that lasted 5,000 to 6,000 years, not even far away from fucking Kandak, wherever the fuck it is on the African peninsula, you know, like the African continent. And it's just, fuck's sake. The writing in this is so bad, but bad in the way that, like, Ed Wood was a bad writer. It's that's a really stupid thing for you to say. That's a stupid thing. The kid who is from like the kid who is the kid from Last Action Hero, essentially. At one point, outright tells a mercenary, like, gives him this whole, like, Twitter spiel about how, like, he's an imperialist scumbag and all that. And the guy just goes, yeah. Keep moving. And it's like, I'm pretty sure if this was reality, he would have just shot you halfway through to make a point. It's just, this kid's seriously fucking talking to me? Blam! It, done. Instead, he's just like, oh, okay. It's like, this guard, this border guard who is keeping control on behalf of Intergang, of his neighborhood.
Which, in and of itself.
It's like, yeah. Like, they don't even really go into what that means, because it's like, excuse fucking me. He has this weird, semi-jokey rapport with the kid, and it's like, this guy has, like... The kid outright is like, no, he's keeping us hostage. It's like, yeah, but you also have this jokey thing back and forth. The characters are all over the goddamn place. The villain is out of the 80s in that for the vast majority of the movie. And like, it's intentionally led up this way. He's just generic Arab villain 57-B. The one with the receding hairline, but the long hair in back.
Like, you know how in an Ed Harris movie, as soon as Ed Harris walks onto screen, you know he's the bad guy?
I watched Enemy at the Gates last night, so yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Or how in Hobbs and Shaw, Idris Elba comes on screen and literally tells you that he's the bad guy.
I mean, yes. Yeah, and yeah. No, it's so obvious that I was expecting a different fake out, like the fake out that they give, and spoiler alert, the movie finishes and then Dr. Fate literally goes, "Wait, the movie's still going." let me just check. No, we still got runtime on this bitch. How much? Too much. Oh, okay, shit. So bad crap's got happening? Yeah. Let's figure it out. Ooh, the crown was upside down the whole time. Brilliant! Turns out the bad guy wanted to die, comes back as a fucking demon who is like, props to him, comic book accurate, but also... What the fuck? You haven't foreshadowed any of this, you assholes. No one knows who this guy is. I don't know who this guy is. I recognize him. He's got a big old fucking pentagram on him, but it's just like, is it the devil? No, it's some random demon. Yay, demon. Fuck sake. Have something else occur. It's Intergang. Have Desaad show up, or Mannheim, or someone who is connected to Intergang. Maybe lean into the fact that Intergang is actually a front for fucking Darkseid.
Okay, well, a few things here. First and foremost, considering how desperate everyone behind the camera on this movie has been to tell you every single thing that happens in the movie before you get to the theater, I would like to dispute our use of a spoiler warning. Second,
there's one thing they won't tell you about this. There's one thing they won't tell you about this film. It's a comedy. They will not say it's a comedy. It's a comedy. Like, yeah, The Rock has been going on and on and on and on about how, like, he kills. His hero kills. His superhero kills. My superhero kills. Does yours? And it's like, this is going to be Zack Snyder brutality. And a lot of it is, but it has this actual sense of humor to it, which, like, thank God a professional wrestler can bring to these characters. He can be brutal and brusque and I always kill, but because he's used to playing like, you know, cheeky heels who everyone likes, or like a baby face who shouldn't be a baby face, it works. when he flies blithely through walls, and someone eventually is just like, did they not invent doors? And he's like, of course, it's how you went in and out of a room. It's like, then use it, you fucking asshole. So it's like, you're making a conscious choice to just fly through a fucking wall. You're being an asshole. Oh, okay. There's moments in this that work.
This is the thing with those scenes specifically.
Yeah.
The Rock in front of the camera is kind of terrible.
Oh, he's so terrible. And like, this, Yeah.
This is my logic. Now, as I understand the character of Black Adam, this is a character who is supposed to go off in like a blinding rage that would make Wolverine go, dude, consider decaf. Like, if you provoke Black Adam even slightly.
Like, he and Namor are very much, not only in design, but also temperament and character, the exact same fucking person. One just has a desert country, and the other has a sunken one. They're the same person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But here, The Rock is not doing that. What he's doing is, I would point you toward the 2010 film Faster, which was one of The Rock's first dramatic roles. It's a modern noir revenge thriller where, frankly, he surprised a lot of people with the quality of his work. And there
I don't even know it. Jesus.
Oh, I will happily have us cover it in a future episode.
We'll have to, I guess. Shit. We'll double-head it with the original Scorpion King. Just to, like, just be like, and by the way, deep-fried shit.
But his character there is portraying kind of a simmering beneath the surface rage resulting from a tragedy in his past that drives him over the course of the entire movie.
Hmm.
There, it works because it's a subtler, more low-key film.
Yeah.
It doesn't work here.
I feel like it works here for the first two acts. The third act wants you to immediately forget everything you've seen. Not just in terms of like exposition that it rewrites, but it literally wants you to forget certain things happened. The first two acts of this film are set up with a prelude in which it's told to you that Black Adam is this child who led a revolution and gained superpowers, and on a frenzy attack saved Kandak from this evil king, but like disappeared, and there was this whole explosion. And then the JSA reveal that, like, oh, actually he went rage crazy. This kid was gifted godlike powers, and, you know, was a child and lost their fucking mind in a moment and almost destroyed Kandak. And so for the first two thirds of this film, it makes sense that he's so just like basic as a character, and like,
yeah,
acts in this way, behaves in this odd way, because it's like, it's just a kid who has no context or understanding of anything to begin with of what the fuck, who is in the godlike body that they more or less, as per the timeline that was laid out in the prelude of the film, probably had powers for a day, maybe two. You don't exactly have the time to adjust to being a godlike being, right? Especially when you've gone through some traumatic shit. You almost got executed. It's a whole thing. And that makes sense. And then it's revealed that, oh no, he's actually a fully grown adult who was just like not at all this character. And it's like, okay, but then none of his behavior makes sense. The initial freak out thousands of years ago out of rage, that makes sense. The initial freak out being woken up and like being confronted with something inexplicable occurring and then like reacting with violence, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
response to Intergang, once he's in Kandak, with the secondary characters, the humans, the comedy relief essentially, that also makes sense. But everything else after that is just like, your rage makes less sense the more that you engage with anyone. And you gotta deepen this fucking character. And I swear to God, you don't get a moment of character development even after it's explained his more intense and more interesting backstory until he smashes a throne, which, thank God, because this film goes right up to the line of like promoting fascism and pretends to kiss it and then slaps it in the face and walks away. And you're like, well, thank fucking God he smashes the throne. Because if that had ended with like, yes, it's good. It's like, okay, so this film is just pure Zack Snyder. Like, maybe if you give a god enough power, it's okay. It's like, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that won't end badly at all.
Yeah. Okay, well, first off, quick point. Those comedy scenes you were talking about earlier, they work for one reason and one reason only. And that is the only main actor who looks like he's having a good time and is working and is saving so many of those scenes, which is Pierce goddamn Brosnan.
I would actually say there are two. No, there are a few actors. I really liked, I can't remember who played him, but the Hawkman, Carter Hall. I know that was a really like straightforward, stoic, but it's like, you know, we don't get people playing that straightforward 1950s, damn it, we're the good guys. We have to, it's kind of nice to see and run across in contrast to everything. Because no one does that. Well, yeah. Even Superman's like,
okay. No, fair. Aldous Hodge as Hawkman, semi-agree with you because I think he is doing good work with what he was given.
Yeah.
What he was given was incredibly stupid and has been irrelevant for at least a decade.
And yeah, so like there's, all right, yeah. As you're saying, Pierce Brosnan's fantastic in this. It's just one of those shames of like, Dr. Fate came before Dr. Strange, but Dr. Strange ended up on the screen first. So everything we see Dr. Fate do is just like, yeah, none of this is impressive or like new or anything. It's just, okay, you're filling that role. This is a D&D game and you're the mage. Okay, cool. He's the paladin, like Hawkeye's, or Hawkeye, fuck. Hawkman's the paladin. You know, but like, I liked the JSA in this. I liked the way that it alludes to there's many more JSA adventures in the past, and the team comes and goes in terms of like who's on it, except for, as should be, Dr. Fate and Hawkman. I was pissed that they killed Dr. Fate, not only because it's a more interesting portrayal, like Pierce Brosnan's doing some cool stuff, but Carter Hall is right there. Kill him. Yeah. Have the next JSA thing be Dr. Fate looking for the next incarnation of Carter Hall. Fucking duh.
Also a couple of quick related side notes. Apparently Pierce Brosnan has said in interviews that he was inspired to take this role by Benedict Cumberbatch's work as Doctor Strange.
I mean, yeah.
And you can kind of see it.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate right now are the only cinematic crossover that I would be at all interested in.
Yeah, and they just killed it. Or at least version.
That's actually the second thing, because for whatever it's worth, Brosnan and I believe The Rock have apparently also said that Dr. Fate will be back.
It's also another part of Dr. Fate lore, if I recall. But it's one of those things of like, especially thanks to DC Legends of Tomorrow, the larger audience is familiar with the resurrection connection of like, you know, Carter Hall, Hawkman, and the inclusion of Nth Metal. That would have been a more interesting story. Plus, you get to tie in his love story. Plus, we can pull in Vandal Savage for a JSA separate film. And you know, it would be like Vandal Savage realizes that his old foe, I know his old foe is actually the Resurrection Man, but no one wants to see the Resurrection Man. I liked that they wound his character into Hawkman to give Hawkman something to fucking do. Because for anyone who read Hawkman in the 80s and 90s, what the fuck? What the fuck? Thanks, Crisis. You fucked the pooch on that one. But I enjoyed the JSA in this. You know, I didn't like that they were working with Waller. Like, there's, for some reason, they've decided to make Waller the Nick Fury of this. And no, Waller is at best like an anti-hero puppet, like string puller. She's not like supposed to be the person who assigns superheroes to do shit, unless the JSA is actually corrupted and is at the beck and call of the US government, which it should not be.
No, like as soon as she showed up and called Carter Hall in his bunker at the X mansion. I mean, wait, no, hold on. Whatever Carter Hall's mansion is called, it's the X mansion. Let's not kid ourselves.
I mean, you know, you got to be impressed with the attempt to one up, where it's like, you know, at the X-Men mansion, the basketball court rolls out, and it's like, oh, okay. Well, in this one, like, it's this geometric pattern that like transforms like a fucking Bayformer and shit, and it's like, but why? The basketball court rolls out, and a plane comes up. It's simple. We don't need more. Charles Xavier was looking at the engineering costs and being like, you know, it's this or I can have the bigger Cerebro.
And also with that sequence, I'm going to just say it right now. If you're going to try to claim that the CG here is better than it was in She-Hulk, you will instantly lose all credibility. All of it.
Man, it's very video gamey. Yeah, there's aspects of that of like, we could have held that for something later. I mean, like it's cool to see that there's an established JSA. The internal logic of, and none of the internal logic in this film works, but specifically like the internal logic of how the JSA talk about themselves, it doesn't make sense. Like, I would love if they had been around for like decades and they were the standard superhero group, but they became outmoded and eventually became a tool of the US government. That would have been cool. But the world that we're introduced to when this whole fucking fiasco began in Man of Steel is not that world at all.
No.
At all. And I love that the plane they had was a Blackhawk. I just like the old Blackhawk comics. They were neat. So I'll always Blackhawk.
I think it was supposed to be Hawkman's logo. I know where you're going, and I'm going to make that work. Because, like I said, I think it's supposed to be Hawkman's logo, but I want to live in a world where the graphics designer on that movie was a Blackhawks fan, and he was like, well, okay, if nobody's looking, I'm just making a few changes here.
Because, like, you know, I can see how it's supposed to be his logo and stuff, but I always thought of his logo as gold, you know, like the headdress he wears, gold. The Blackhawk is Blackhawk on a red background. And that's what we got. I mean, like,
I completely agree, but the logo on Hawkman's chest piece had a red background and looked like it was black.
That's why
I'm assuming.
It makes it more interesting. God, if one of the more interesting tie-ins in this fucking movie turns out to not be it. Damn it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I just want to pretend that there was a graphics designer who was like, I'm just going to make a few small changes while no one's looking.
Yeah.
Now, for my part, though, with the JSA, I liked half of the JSA. Hmm. But like I said, Pierce Brosnan looks like he's having so much fun, and I respect it. Aldous Hodge, again, is doing good work with the garbage he was given. Now, Noah Centineo's Ant-Man, I mean Adam Smasher. Dude, you are Adam Smasher in costume only, and we can tell.
Yeah, it's a real shame that they essentially went like, okay, we need to fill out the other roster. We need girl and not white guy. And they went, okay, girl and not white guy it is. And we get, yeah, Adam Smasher, who, not that there's much character necessarily to Adam Smasher. He's very much a character that's like, you work best in the middle of the last century. You don't really work as much well now.
And then Cyclone. Poor Quintessa Swindell as Cyclone, who is given a character, but if they had actually done something with her, they would have given her a character. Instead, she's basically there to be a Zack Snyder slow-mo wet dream.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm pretty sure. Was it Slipknot had more characterization in Suicide Squad?
Well, it's funny because it's true. It kills me to say it, but it's true.
They're just filling parts, and maybe there was more on the cutting room floor of their characters, but it's very much just like you're not part of the main cast. You're kind of like part of the secondary or even tertiary. You're the secondary of the secondary cast. You know, you're the background of the background of the background of the background behind the rock.
Yeah, I mean,
he's really broad, so, you know.
I like, Adam Smasher looked like he was drawing on Ezra Miller's Flash for inspiration. And, Noah, my friend, as I understand it, you probably got this role due to family connections, but Ezra Miller may not be the person to be looking at. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, who knows when they pulled that aspect from the character, and it's just like, maybe that didn't age so well.
No.
One character that really, really, really works in this, and I swear to God, has to be a later rewrite because it feels like a Marvel character, is Muhammad Amir's brother of the archaeologist. Lady, I can't remember his name. He's the uncle Kareem. Of the plucky child. Yeah, Kareem. He's fantastic. His character very much feels like a Marvel character in terms of like writing, and more importantly, his jokes are not obvious. Like they're situationally driven, and he has a perfectly normal reaction as a human, and that's what drives the comedy. And his needle drops when like music occurs and he's doing something are natural and make sense for his fucking character. Like he literally saves the day by driving his van into the middle of a fight scene, and you only know it's happening because for a split second before he appears, you can hear the music coming from his car. And that works. That moment works. It's contemporary. It's actually like in line with what people react to and respond to in these films. It doesn't feel forced. Meanwhile, we get an opening where a preteen, is skateboarding around a modern version of Kandak City, I guess it's fucking called, because they never give it a capital name. Kandak in Kandak. Where? On Kandak Street. Oh, you mean the Kandak
Street? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kandaks are us. It plays, the world is a vampire, strictly for the...
Weird.
Strictly for the line about, like, you know, despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do, just because a word free associates with the thing that you're using, the character you're using, don't use that fucking song. That is so obvious. If you want a character to inhabit like rage and you have a song where they outright just say rage, that doesn't work. You have to play smarter than that, because the song is not about just being angry. It's about being a fucking working class shill in like corporate America in the 1990s when you are a Gen X rebel, but the reality of economics means that you have to have a day job that is monotonous and grinding and supporting the system that you are against. That's what that fucking means. It has nothing to do with just being angry or, say, overthrowing a goddamn dictatorship that executed your child. Totally different.
The entire soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, as you said, I think not just this one song, but the entire soundtrack is based solely on having a word. It's based solely on having a word that has something to do with the character. Because I can't remember what it was, but I think there was a song that showed up just because the word black comes in
somewhere.
Yeah, and
that brings it to the next one. It's the Painted Black scene. And like visually, the super speed scene is fantastic because it elaborates his perspective and gives you an idea of his approach to fighting. Like that scene works beautifully, but over it, they have Painted Black by the Rolling Stones playing, which culturally signifies Vietnam, which is meant to be a mindless, incessant struggle against yourself, essentially, in an out-of-control situation. Like, I understand how that makes sense for Black Adam, but it's about failure. It's about fucking failure. It's meant to be this, like, loss of control. And that entire scene shows very specifically how Black Adam is in complete control. And to us, it looks like random acts of violence and insanity and like, you know, death and destruction. But at his scale, it's so minusculely, perfectly controlled. It is the opposite of that fucking song. Like, I'm so annoyed at them for using that. The beat per minute was correct. Absolutely. The scene built itself. Fantastic, but Painted Black is it's a stand-in song. It's the same fucking problem as with Zack Snyder. These aren't the songs you use in the final product. You find another song that alludes to this feeling that you are trying to generate, but isn't on the fucking nose. And they left the goddamn marker songs in and forgot to build an actual soundtrack.
Yeah, because there was one more song where they did the exact same thing again. Because at the start of what should have been the start of Act 3, Power by Kanye West. Because of course they
did.
Yeah,
like again, this is one of those scenes that's like, okay, this was laid out possibly as much as 10 years ago, if not like it's an old scene. It's simply a guy with a lot of power decides to do something with power, and the lyric is saying no one man should have all this power. It's a comment about, like, you know, it's kind of a joke, and it's not meant to be thought of too much. Like, you want these scenes to either look really cool so you're not thinking, or elicit another concept, like it's a metaphor or allegory for something. This is literally, let's show a man who has too much power, and the song is saying he has too much power. And by the way, the characters who he is helping right now believe he has too much power. So essentially, like, the song's just backing up the concerns the people against the it's a mess. But then you add on top of the fact that Kanye West has completely fucking self-destructed. Why are they having this song play?
I can't remember where I heard this joke. So if whoever said it is listening to this, I apologize for not crediting you. But I have heard it suggested that essentially nobody knew what to do for a soundtrack, so The Rock pulled out his workout playlist and was just like, use that.
You know, I would not be surprised to certain aspects. Yeah, that would be frustratingly accurate for his level of control over these things. And Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, if you are listening, and I'm sure you are, buddy, how's your old CFL friends? Let go of the power. You remember Be Cool? That wasn't a very good movie. But you know what was fantastic in Be Cool? You were Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah. You played an actor who constantly was obsessed with playing against their type. If I recall, it was a gay man who wanted to play like musicals and like gay characters and romantic leads. He didn't want to play like gay characters as they were being written at the time. He wanted to play like the main characters, but gay. And so he would go in and read like for romantic leads, but be like reading the women's part and stuff. And people didn't know what to do with him. And like they eventually found his niche when he was like, okay, if I just bury how gay I am. And it's like, that was a bad story arc, but his willingness to be a comedic character worked. To intentionally play with the idea of playing against yourself aggressively constantly. And I don't think he would ever do that again. Ever. Like, this is a man who did the Tooth Fairy, had a bad time, and never wants to be that out of control of his brand ever again. Instead of like, how was it? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger's, some of his films, his early films, were real bad. Check out Hercules Goes to Manhattan, or whatever the fuck it's called. I think it is breathtakingly
wasn't it Hercules
bad.
In New York?
Yeah, Hercules in New York. Breathtakingly bad film. But Arnie did that, and he did a lot of schlock and humor after. We got Kindergarten Cop, we got Junior, we got a lot of things that exist because Arnold Schwarzenegger was willing to give a script a chance, and he's willing to be embarrassed and look silly on camera. And it's fascinating that like Arnold Schwarzenegger has more willingness to be an actor and more like spread, more appeal, potential as an actor than Dwayne The Rock Johnson does. And it's just like, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. He has more actor range than this man who like wants himself to be taken completely seriously as an actor. Fuck.
Yeah, I know.
Be like Arnie.
It's so frustrating that he is clearly so much more a brand than an actor nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when it comes to him and Vin Diesel on Fast and the Furious, Vin Diesel is still the bad guy.
Yeah, no, it's and like that just shows how much power he has over like the narrative of all that. My final rating on this film, if I must, is go see it. You will enjoy it. It's definitely a very old feeling superhero movie. It's not good, but it is what people tried to make Morbius and Venom be. Like, stop trying to make Fetch. This is Fetch. Venom tried to become like, no, we're wink and nod. We're totally where we suck, and that's the point. And it's like, I can kind of see it. And Morbius tried to be like, we totally suck. See, that's a pun. And it's like, no, it's not. Fuck off. This actually is wink and nod the entire time. It's aware that it's really silly willy 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 without no Billy. Oh, that's the other thing. I know it's fan service. Having Superman at the end is really fucking stupid.
Oh,
that
God.
Should have been Shazam.
Oh, God.
That should have been Shazam.
Yes.
That would have been Shazam. Like, having Superman be at the will of Amanda Waller means that he is very much the kind of fucking like shill Frank Miller was writing. That sucks. Having Billy Batson, a fucking child, be convinced into doing it because, well, he's got to be the bad guy. That is fucking Captain Marvel, Shazam, Black Adam. That's That's normal. It should have been the first confrontation between Billy Batson and fucking Black Adam. And Billy should have been like, "Hi, I'm Billy. You want to be friends?" And then just gets punched right in the face and it goes to black.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think the simple fact is the Rock, for all his faults, he is a marketing promotional genius.
Yes.
He knew good and goddamn well that people wanted Henry Cavill's Superman back.
Yeah.
And he knew that the Snyder cult is gullible as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he teased that Superman was going to show up, they would all flock to his movie. And he would get the Black Adam sequel, which I believe has already been announced. He would the money. He would get everything he wanted from 5 seconds of Henry Cavill, who should not be there.
Yeah, who does not make any sense for the character plot, anything. And it's just, you know, that is such fucking attitude era writing of like, does this make sense? No. But it'll shock the audience. Good call.
Yep. Now, for my part, just in terms of final thoughts, one last note about the soundtrack, which is this is some of the worst use of songs that I have seen since Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, where there was one scene where they have a character literally say, "Where are we going next on this highway to hell?" And then before the scene change completes, Highway to Hell by AC/DC starts playing.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
And, yeah, and, like, at the end of the day, if you're a fan who is just satisfied by seeing Black Adam on screen, you're going to have a good time. You're going to get everything you wanted. Cool.
Yeah.
You're going to want to temper your expectations going in, because everything that The Rock has said about this movie is not true. The simple fact is, Rock, we smell what you're cooking and it's really stale.
Well, if you disagree or believe that we are cooking up some bullshit, like, share, subscribe, leave us a comment, send us an email, send them complaints too.
Or if you're one of those fans who believes anyone who says anything about negative about DC films is a Marvel shill and is paid, then, or if you're a Marvel executive who would like to send us a check, we could be reached. We can be reached at realgeekshfx@gmail.com or at realgeekshfx on Twitter. You can find me at the Maritime Lord on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, where if you're interested, I just recently posted a mini rant related to the Superman post-credits scene where I called out good old Supes for some of the most disrespectful behavior in a theater I have ever seen.
Ooh, fun. Well, that sounds entertaining. And I can be found at Friday in Halifax on Twitter and Crash and Burn everywhere else. Next time, we're actually going to go back on theme and start our Halloween nonsense. What day is it? Oh, it's the 22nd of October. Good, good. Oh, it's the 23rd. Even better. We're gonna go down south, down under, no, further down under, yes, to the Antarctic, and it's the thing! Woo, 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 woo.
So, I mean, we are starting Halloween month basically on Halloween, so for us, that's on brand and actually pretty good.
It's only a little late. It's still good. It's still good. Until then... goodbye, and God, this movie sucked.
Yeah, it's go in with lowered expectations.
colors anymore. I want them to turn black. Never to come back. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.